The Starlight Mile by David K. Hulegaard. Performed by Tim Campbell. Colin boarded the train in Cleveland, Ohio, and handed his business class ticket to the car attendant standing just inside the vestibule. Her fingers moved across the top of the glossy paper.
"Cincinnati, eh?" the attendant said. "Well, feel free to sit wherever you like, Mr. Gibbard. We're pretty light on this schedule, so we won't be using assigned seating."
Colin nodded and took back his ticket stub. "Thank you." He approached a smoked glass door to the right of the attendant. A red light above the door turned green, and the metal frame slid open, tucking itself into a pocket. Inside the car, Colin counted only 8 other passengers, most of which were occupying the seats near the back. He opted to take a seat near the front, putting several empty rows between him and the next closest person. Moments later, the attendant passed through the car. She stopped briefly to chat with each passenger and placed small handwritten cards beside the seat number above their heads. After finishing up at the back of the car, she made her way over to Colin.
"Cincinnati, was it?" she said.
"Yes." The attendant wrote CIN on a card in black Sharpie and stuck it next to his seat number.
"You're not going to get lonely up here all by yourself, are you?"
she said. "No. I'm not all that much for socializing," Colin said.
"Understood," the attendant winked. "Enjoy your trip, Mr. Gibbard."
Not long after she exited the car, the train pulled away from the Cleveland station. Colin tossed his travel bag in the seat in front of him and rifled through its contents until he found his sketchbook. He flipped the pages to a drawing he'd started several days earlier, a high fantasy scene depicting an armor-clad warrior fending off a dragon's fiery breath with her shield. After brushing away some leftover eraser shavings, he nodded in approval of his work in progress. The sound of the car's pocket door opening and closing barely registered as Colin resumed his work, concentrating on his shading technique. The flooring creaked as someone's heavy footsteps moved toward the front of the car and stopped at Colin's row.
"You're quite an artist there, young man," a raspy voice said.
Colin looked up from his drawing and politely smiled at an elderly man wearing a pinstriped 3-piece suit.
"Very good indeed."
"Thanks," Colin said, quickly returning his attention to his work.
"Mind if I sit?" the man said.
Colin raised his head again and glanced at the empty seats all around him. "Right here?"
"Sure. Why not?"
the man replied. "But wouldn't you be more comfortable with a row all to yourself?" Colin said.
"Comfortable, yes, but this row is closer to the bathroom, and at my age, that's a blessing."
The old man plopped down across from Colin and sank into the faux leather seat.
"I promise I won't be a bother."
Colin's face flushed with heat, but he continued working on his sketch in silence. The old man reclined his seat and removed his fedora, holding it in both hands over his belly.
"Ah," he sighed. "Now this is comfort worth the price of a business class upgrade. Wouldn't you agree?"
"Yes," Colin answered without lifting his eyes from the page. "Much nicer than the bus, anyway."
"The bus?" the old man roared. "I can't imagine taking a trip like this on the bus. Makes my rear end sore just thinking about it."
Colin chuckled. "Yeah, it's miserable. I've done it before. At least my company took pity on me and sprung for the train this time." The man's fingers drummed against his fedora.
"Pardon an old man's curiosity, but what do you do?"
"I'm a graphic designer," Colin said.
"A graphic designer?"
The man studied Colin's sketch.
"You mean you get paid to draw dragons and such? Sounds fascinating."
"I wish." Colin blew a puff of air out of his mouth. "This is just for fun. For work, I do boring stuff like designing logos and custom graphics for small businesses. It's good experience, I guess, but I'm really only padding my resume until my dream job comes along."
"Which is?"
Colin stilled his pencil and looked up, meeting the old man's gaze.
"I'm sorry, son," the man said. "I don't mean to be nosy. Back in my day, good old-fashioned conversation is how we passed the time on long train rides. We didn't have all the fancy gadgets you kids have now. But I'll leave you alone."
No, it's fine. Colin sheathed his pencil into his sketchbook spiral binding. My dream is to become a concept artist for either a movie studio or a video game company. I want to create visuals that resonate with people, you know? The old man smiled.
I'm Herbert, by the way.
Colin.
Pleased to meet you, Colin, the man said. And thanks for humoring me.
No problem, Colin said.
Say, do you know any good stories?
Colin furrowed his brow. Stories?
Surely a man capable of conjuring fire-breathing dragons from his fingertips must also have some great stories to share.
Not really, Colin said. It's usually other people's stories that get my creative juices flowing.
I see.
Herbert rubbed his chin.
Then may I tell you a story and see if it inspires you?
Colin checked his watch. There was still well over an hour to go before the next station stop in Toledo. Sure.
Excellent.
Herbert put his fedora on and returned his chair to an upright position.
Tell me, Colin, do you like scary stories?
Colin nodded.
Then I think you're going to love this one, Herbert said. It's a story that originated here in Ohio, on this very route of this very train, as a matter of fact.
Colin rolled his eyes. Please don't tell me that this story ends with a car full of dead passengers and a bloody hook stuck to the outside of the door. Herbert smirked.
No, Colin, nothing like that. This is a story about a tunnel.
A tunnel? Colin shook his head. No offense, Herbert, but I'm way too old to be afraid of the dark.
Oh, this isn't just any tunnel, Herbert said. This is the Starlight Mile, a very mystical and forbidden place.
Colin folded his arms across his chest. I've lived in Ohio my whole life, and I've never heard of the Starlight Mile.
Of course you haven't, Herbert said. You're young. But us old-timers, we know the truth. The truth about a time in Ohio's history that most would rather forget. But I know the tale all too well.
Mm-hmm.
You don't believe me, Herbert said.
Colin shrugged.
Oh, how I love a skeptic, Herbert said. You want proof, and I will oblige. Close your eyes and count to 30.
How is that going to prove anything?
Trust me, Herbert said. Close your eyes and count to 30. If I'm telling you the truth, when you open your eyes, you'll see a hill outside the window covered in old stone markers.
Colin sighed and closed his eyes. He counted to 30, out loud, opened his eyes and turned his head toward the window. A blur of thick trees flew past. Okay, I'll admit it, Herbert. You had me going there for a... A break in the trees gave visibility to a large mound of earth. Rows of decrepit stone markers and moss-covered rocks littered the path to the top. That's a neat parlor trick. But come on, Colin said. That doesn't prove anything. You've been riding these rails a long time. You could have worked out that calculation of distance a long time ago.
Not impressed, eh?
Herbert tipped his fedora.
Okay, try this. Recite the Pledge of Allegiance for me.
What? Colin looked at Herbert cockeyed. Why?
You wanted proof, right? I'm offering it to you.
Intrigued, Colin cleared his throat and complied. As the last word rolled off his tongue, a cheerful voice came over the PA system.
Good afternoon, folks. This is your car attendant speaking. For all you sightseers on board with us today, if you look out the right-hand side of the car, you'll see the historical remains of an old Ohio ghost town.
She made cartoony, ghostly wail sounds.
The town is now closed to the public as local volunteers work to restore it back to its former glory, but we're able to sneak a peek at their progress as we pass by.
Go on, Herbert said, grinning wide. Have a look.
The train sped past a town of crumbling structures, old brick buildings with missing walls, wood cabins with holes in the roof, collapsing in on themselves. A haze of wispy dust hovering midair down every dirt road.
Amazing, isn't it, Colin? Herbert said. It's hard to imagine a time before asphalt streets, steel beams, and supermarkets. Yet somehow people did it.
Colin pressed his forehead to the glass. But how did you...
Are you ready to hear my story now? Herbert said. To hear about the Starlight Mile.
Colin slid back in his chair, elbows firm on the armrests.
Back in the early days of railroading, there were men aboard every train called brakemen.
Herbert interlocked his fingers over his chest.
The role still exists today, only their responsibilities have changed. It's safe to be a brakeman now, but back then a man knew he was signing his own death warrant by accepting the position.
Why was it so dangerous? Colin said.
Excellent question. You see, the purpose of a brakeman was to manually apply the brakes to a car and slow the train down, which in those days could only be performed outside the car.
Herbert pretended to pull an imaginary brake in front of him.
He'd have to brave the elements in order to carry out his responsibilities, which came with extraordinary risk. Brakemen often perished from ailments ranging from pneumonia to beheading and everything in between.
Colin winced. That's horrible.
It is, and all true, I'm afraid, Herbert said. It wasn't uncommon for a brakeman to fall from a train and be sliced to pieces on the tracks. In fact, it happened to every brakeman who passed through the Starlight Mile.
Colin ran his hands through his short cropped hair and examined the moisture on his fingers. Why?
This is where the story gets really good.
Herbert stomped his foot.
As news of this tragic phenomenon made its way through local towns, much like the ghost town you saw back there, people began to panic. Rumors of witchcraft and curses circulated for miles in every direction, until the superstition ran rampant throughout the state of Ohio. Fear prompted groups of protesters who demanded that the rail company build a new route around the tunnel.
The company must not have listened if this route still goes through the Starlight Mile today, Colin said.
Sure, they listened, but building a new route would have cost time and money that the company couldn't afford to lose. So instead, they did what any enterprising company would do. They raised the brakeman position's wage.
Seriously? Colin smacked his forehead. Their solution was to just throw a few extra bucks at the problem to shut people up? Unreal.
You have to remember that times were tough back in those days, Colin, Herbert said. A few extra bucks, as you put it, meant the difference between your family eating or not. When faced with that option, you bet those men took the job, even when the mysterious Starlight Mile deaths continued.
You're kidding me.
Oh, make no mistake. The curse of the Starlight Mile was feared by all, Herbert said. Every brakeman in Ohio hoped and prayed that they'd be the first to survive the trip. But one by one, each met the same fate. Inexplicably cast from the back of the train and shred to ribbons under its wheels.
That's insane, Colin said. So when did the curse, or whatever it really was, finally stop? Herbert cocked his head to the side and scratched his brow.
What makes you think the curse ended?
Colin laughed. Well, for starters, because his route still goes through the tunnel and brakemen don't seem to die anymore.
An astute observation, Herbert said. You're right. A brakeman hasn't died on this route since modern technology improved the operation of trains.
See, there you go. Colin brushed his hands together. No curse, just an unfortunate byproduct of the era. Herbert smacked his lips and narrowed his eyes.
Do you know why they call it the Starlight Mile, Colin?
He said, his voice now higher pitched and rumbly. An icy chill ran up Colin's spine.
The tunnel runs through a hollowed-out path in the hills, exactly 1 mile long, Herbert said. Once inside, the train is fully enveloped by darkness. The only trace of light comes from tiny flashes like twinkling stars that no one has ever been able to explain. Can you see them, Colin? Can you see the twinkling stars?
The train entered a tunnel. Pitch-black walls surrounded the car, swallowing every last ounce of light. Colin fumbled for the reading light button above him, but clicking it had no effect.
You see, Colin, Even after the trains improved, the pattern of unexplained deaths in the Starlight Mile continued, Herbert said. If not a brakeman, then another crew member or passenger took their place, and the method of their demise grew ever more gruesome over time.
Colin mashed the reading light button repeatedly, still to no avail. What's going on with this damn thing?
By the 1940s, stories of the Starlight Mile carried warnings of supernatural forces at play, Herbert said. Some even said that the tunnel had been claimed by the devil himself and turned into his personal playground of misery and despair.
A pungent odor filled Colin's nose. His eyes watered. He gagged on the stench, feeling its vapor snake through his respiratory system and burn his throat. Colin rose from his seat and pounded on the window. Strobes of mysterious light illuminated the car, like a photographer snapping pictures from within the tunnel. In the brief flashes, Herbert's face reflected in the window, his grin widening into an unnatural smile curving toward his temples.
The townspeople believe that the tunnel's sparkling lights were really the collected souls of the brakemen, put on display for the devil's delight, and decorating the Starlight Mile like ornaments of sorrow.
The train rocked and Colin fell back into his chair. He gripped the armrests, his heart pounding in his chest, and the image of Herbert's contorted face frozen in his mind.
But you're right, Herbert said. There is no curse. The tale of the Starlight Mile is nothing more than an urban legend used to scare children before bed. This train will soon exit the tunnel, and the lights will come back on. I'll be gone, but you'll continue onward to Cincinnati. One day you'll even realize your dream and become a concept artist, probably making a fortune off of the artwork you create inspired by my story. That would be nice, wouldn't it, Colin?
A deep growl emanated from the seat across from Colin. A fleshy substance coiled around his ankles and slithered up his shins. He tried to scream, but the thickness in his esophagus muffled the sound.
Then again, Herbert said.
Two piercing red eyes cut through the darkness, holding Colin hostage within its gaze.
I've never been one for happy endings.